relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
It wasn't that long ago, our same governor loudly and publicly argued how wrong it was for the President of the United States to withhold federal funding from states not complying with federal laws. The dictatorial attitude toward California residents while dining in luxury, traveling, keeping his business open, and sending his kids to in-person private schools is very telling about his attitude toward California residents, his feelings about the virus, and it is extremely hypocritical. These closures and stay-at-home orders are flat out ridiculous. The metrics used for closures are unbelievably faulty and are not representative of true numbers and are disastrous for Riverside County. When the medical field is so split about this virus, it might be time to employ a little common sense. Keeping money and support from our hospitals, who are struggling with normal, seasonal increases in patients, coupled with COVID-19 patients, is irresponsible. It appears part of the new goal is to shift attention away from his and others' personal behavior with a do-as-I-say-not-as-I-do attitude by turning public opinion against California sheriffs. He is expecting us to arrest anyone violating these orders, cite them and take their money, close their businesses, make them stay in their homes, and take away their civil liberties, or he will punish all of us. I believe that all jobs are essential to someone. Leaders do not threaten, attempt to intimidate, or cause fear. Bullies do. As has been our position from the beginning of this pandemic, the Sheriff's Department is asking and expecting Riverside County residents to act responsibly and do what they can to protect themselves and their family from contracting the virus. Wear your mask and practice social distancing. While the governor's office and the state has threatened action against violators, the Riverside County Sheriff's Department will not be blackmailed, bullied, or used as muscle against Riverside County residents in the enforcement of the governor's orders. I wish you all a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a safe and Happy New Year.
For those of you who aren't watching on YouTube, that was a very impressive-looking man with four stars on his collar in a sheriff's uniform, and I think the person we have with us now can tell us who he is. She's our West Coast warrior fighting for freedom every day in California. Jennifer Horn, who is that man?
He is a hero in Southern California, Seb. That is Sheriff Chad Bianco. He is the sheriff of Riverside County. And I have to say, thank God for a sane voice in a state of just unreasonable ones. He, along with the sheriff in Orange County, Don Barnes, even the L.A. sheriff, who the verdict, like the jury's still out on Alex Villanueva, all three of them came together and said, we'll go after big super spreader events. We'll go after people actually committing real crimes, but we are not going to go after people who are simply going to open their businesses. And what we have seen is pushback on the governor's orders to shut down particularly small restaurants. A lot of restaurants in Orange County, in Ventura County are saying, you know what, if they're not going to enforce this, we're going to open up, and this will be a protest.
So let me get your take
as the person who's right there, who's witnessing all of this, who has, you know, your show every day, multiple, you know, hours of coverage, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer, The Morning Answer, and The Jen and Don Show. The conservative media, Jen, is focusing on the hypocrisy of the politicians. Mm-hmm. Aren't we just all inured to it? Is that the right way to attack this issue? Because is it ever going to change with the Democrats?
Well, this may sound conspiratorial, but I feel like this is a test run more than anything else. Just what we have the appetite for as citizens of the state of California, right? Just how much restriction and overreach can people take? I think the media pointing out the hypocrisy is important because we all have a good laugh and go, oh, can you believe Gavin Newsom had a $15,000 alcohol bill? Can you believe that Sheila Kuhl went out to dinner after she voted to shut down restaurants in LA County? That makes news. It gives us all a little chuckle. But really, I think the important thing here is to make sure that that chuckle, that that bit of attention that people are giving to the hypocrisy kind of attaches itself to the government overreach that we're seeing in the state. We have been told, Seb, and you've heard them say, follow the science. Well, there is no science linking outdoor dining and COVID-19 numbers, which are admittedly spiking compared to other months. There are higher numbers going on in California. But here's where our elected leaders stop following the science. First, when it comes to the numbers and the capacity of California hospitals, there was a study that was released that the mainstream media has not picked up on. And that is that the number of people that were hospitalized last year for the flu, for bacterial pneumonia, for all the other things that they could be hospitalized for, that number was like 17% higher than it is right now as we're battling COVID. And yet we're in a complete shutdown mode in the state of California. It's also really unreasonable this weekend. It's been a rough couple of weeks. I've got some sick family members and cats dying and things changing and lots of stuff going on. So I got out of town this weekend. I went to Paso Robles, which is in the central coast of California, and they have been lumped into the Southern California region by Governor Gavin Newsom. Seb, they have had 4 COVID deaths since March.
Wow.
They have had 1,000 cases since March, and they are being shut down like Los Angeles County, which has had a much tougher time with COVID. So if they really cared about following the science, they wouldn't be lumping all of these people together. They wouldn't be lying to us, saying that our hospitalizations are higher than they were last year when we didn't even know what COVID-19 was. And that's the problem that I have. And that's leading to some pushback. And I always look for some optimism. And optimism to me is coming in people's fight and people's getting ignited.
So this is my question. Yes, I think it was yesterday on a crazy week. We had the lawyer for Danny Presti, the co-owner of Max Bar in Staten Island.
Right.
And for me, when I saw that video last week, I saw the person outside Max Bar when the marshals were shutting it down and taking away the owner in handcuffs, saying, get out here! We've got to stop them! They're only going to stop if they fear us. Come out here tomorrow night, 6 p.m. And the next evening, Tucker showed it all through his show. You had 1,500, maybe 2,000 people outside the bar. For me, that was a seminal moment. I know Staten Island's a little bit different, and so are the Italians and the Irish there. And they just said
enough.
But it's
still pushback.
It's still pushback. Are you seeing any of that, Jen Horn, in California?
And so just to speak on the counties for a second, San Luis Obispo County, Santa Barbara County, Ventura County are now challenging the governor's order, saying we want to be our own Central Coast region. We don't want to be lumped in with San Diego and Imperial County, which is on the border with Mexico. We don't want to be held accountable for the illegal people who are coming over here using our hospital system, which is why you're seeing the full hospitals in San Diego, Imperial, Orange County, Riverside, San Bernardino, Los Angeles County, because you have a lot of people from outside of the country even coming in to use treatment. So it's not just the counties that are pushing back, but there are some fantastic restaurant owners that have decided to push back. One of them is named Angela Marsden. She's been all over Fox News. She's been everywhere. She's
viral.
Been on my program. My friend works for her. And she has done everything she can to abide by L.A. County rules, and she has pushed back. The support that she's received is fantastic. Mark Garagos, who's a celebrity lawyer, He owns some restaurants in downtown L.A. He filed a suit against L.A. County challenging their science, using air quotes there, and he actually won. The lawsuit was decided yesterday.
Yes.
A judge said that L.A. County has to come to the table with the risk analysis that they use to make this decision, and if they don't, L.A. County restaurants will be able to start doing outdoor dining again. But, of course,
but
the caveat—
But what's the deadline? What's the deadline for bringing the evidence?
Keep in mind, there are two orders in place for L.A. County. L.A. County had a shutdown order from the county first, then the governor shut down the whole state. So the catalyst is that the L.A. County order would go, the governor's order superseded L.A. County's order. So in 3 weeks, Gavin Newsom's order will expire unless he renews it again. And then L.A. County's ban would kick into effect. So this might lift L.A. County's ban, so they have about 3 weeks to provide their evidence. But Garagos, because he got this favorable ruling from the judge, and he has the power, he has the money, the resources to do it, he said, I'm going on and I'm going to challenge Gavin Newsom and we're going to question some of these restrictions. You know, the science seems to have been changing. As part of the shutdown order, they shut down playgrounds, outdoor playgrounds for kids. But because of the pushback, once again, when you push back, they fall back, and now playgrounds are reopened 24 hours later. Things must have gotten safer on the jungle gym.
Yeah, it's the magic of science.
It's amazing.
The next day, there's no COVID in the playgrounds. These guys are hacks. They are nothing to do with science. They're just the new aristocracy. And she's pushing back every single day with CRNTalk.com, host of The Morning Answer and The Jen and Don Show on AM 590, AM 870, The Answer. Follow her right now. Do it on Twitter at Jennifer Horn. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook. If you're watching us, hit that like button. And if you haven't done so already, do subscribe. The price is right. It's free. Sebastian Gorka, America First, on the YouTube.com. Hit the subscription button and the notifications bell twice. You won't regret it. Stay on this channel.
My message couldn't be simpler. It's time to hunker down. It's time to cancel everything. And if it isn't essential, don't do it. Don't meet up with others outside your household. Don't host a gathering. Don't attend a gathering.
Cancel it all, Meg Garcetti. And the music is, of course, from Charlie's Angels. They say smell is the most powerful sense to remind you, to bring back old memories. I think music must be a close second. We use that because of our great friend. She's out there, a warrior princess in California, Jennifer Horn. Follow her on Twitter right now. But before we proceed, don't forget the great Mike Lindell, also a regular guest and even a infrequent but sometimes show host, has given you, the listeners of this show, more than 60% off his revolutionary MyPillow. He sold 51 million of them. They're so good. I use them. My whole team uses them. Even the president uses them. Use my name. Go to MyPillow.com. Not $69.98, but $29.98 for the pillow that never gets hot, never loses its shape. 10-year guarantee. Call 800-829-8468. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. Can I ask a silly question, Jen?
Yeah, I love those. My favorite.
Why do people like Garcetti even get elected?
Because he's the son of Gil Garcetti. Gil Garcetti was the DA in Los Angeles, was very popular in his own right. And so, you know, unfortunately, particularly in California, people love brand names. And I don't mean the stuff you buy at the store or a Gucci bag. They like brand name politicians. And when they're in people's brain, they just vote for them. And so Garcetti is a lackluster version of his father, yet he used his last name to get himself elected and reelected. I mean, there was no one even really seriously running against him. And unfortunately, that's how California politics have run, is when you have someone with a recognizable name, it is rare that they get a serious challenge. And that has been to the benefit of Eric Garcetti, who I was hoping to send packing to Joe Biden if he is sworn into office. I think it's still very much up in the air. But I was hoping Joe Biden would at least take take Garcetti with him. Unfortunately, it looks like he's staying.
Talk to us about the current Los Angeles County Chief Prosecutor, George Gascon, and what has he just announced, Jennifer Horn?
Well, you won't believe it. I think we talked about George Gascon. So he has just been sworn in. He took his oath of office on Monday as the district attorney of Los Angeles, the county of Los Angeles. He is now taking over for Jackie Lacey, who actually I did not vote for her, but boy, I was really hoping for her to pull off a victory. George Gascon's number one donor was, you guessed it, George Soros.
What a surprise.
This is what George Soros has done. You know, everybody talks about him and conservatives get laughed at or removed from Fox News when they say his name. But what he has done is used his money to impact things in a big way, not with big candidates, but he uses DAs. He has sponsored a lot of members of city councils so that he can get his far left ideals rolled out at a very local level without people paying too much attention. And so he bankrolled the Gascon campaign, and George Gascon won and was signed in. And Seb, I mean, you're going to have to help me figure out a place to move. Maybe I need to go to Virginia. I don't know.
Sorry, the butcher of Richmond, Ralph Northam, I don't think he's much better than who you've got.
I don't know where to go. I mean, this is getting
I've
so...
I've never heard you give up on California.
I'm not giving up, but I got to tell you, when you hear this, I'm really glad that I have a gun. I'm glad that I already have it, and just try to pry it out of my hands is going to be the question.
So what has he done? What has Gascon done now?
Here's the thing. So during his acceptance speech, after he's sworn in, he started to set up what things are going to look like in LA County under his leadership. Starting yesterday, so these things are already in effect. This is not a conversation. This is now the law for LAPD officers to abide by and everyone else. As of Tuesday, misdemeanor cases will be declined or dismissed to arraignment unless factors for consideration exist. Here's what they are taking off the table. No longer a problem in LA County.
The second half of that sentence is pure Orwell. Unless factors of consideration exist. That doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything at all. So here's what's off the table. Trespassing, disturbing the peace, minor in possession of alcohol, driving without a license or driving with a suspended license. So here's what's great. I'm supposed to go to the DMV before my next birthday. I'm not going to go because apparently we don't need a driver's license.
Right,
and
you can
LA
drink. You can be a 12-year-old driving a car, drinking a can of beer.
I don't have to have a license, and I can have a Coors Light in my cup holder, and apparently you can't do anything about it.
Right. No, not only if you say you're 12, that you identify as a 12-year-old.
And hey, I can identify as anything I want. They are also saying that it's no longer a problem if you make criminal threats, drug and paraphernalia possession, being under the influence of a controlled substance, no problem, public intoxication, no problem, loitering to commit prostitution, and get this, resisting arrest. So you can be a criminal, and you don't have to even listen to the police who are trying to talk to you or arrest you.
So if you commit a crime, just make sure you don't get caught.
Well, and that's just it. Now, if you're a juvenile, sky's the limit. If you're a juvenile, you can commit sexual crimes. You can commit assault. You can do all of the things. If you're under 18, basically, there is no law that will apply to you because they say that it is unfair and it's discriminatory to send young people into a place where they would actually have to serve punishment, that instead that every available option should be extended first in the form of counseling or some sort of group environment before they are actually placed into a protective prison or a group home situation. They've also taken away bail. So if you get picked up on the street, it's basically $20 and you're out. They won't even have to do an arrest. Now, a lot of victims' families have come out against George Gascon because they're afraid, given the current climate in Los Angeles, where crime numbers are skyrocketing. Our murder number is the highest it's been in decades. Crime, petty theft, all of that is on the rise in LA County. And now you have a DA sworn in who says pretty much anything is on the table and you can't be arrested. Think about what that does to the police. They're essentially going to be ticket givers. They're not going to be allowed to keep people safe. They're going to be worrying about people's parking and speeding habits.
Kind of retirement figures and resignation figures?
Oh my gosh. It's been huge in LA County, and just recently they've been defunded by another $150 million dollars. So it's expected that more people will be leaving the force this year. They're also going to have to cut back on the new recruits who have been added. And what are they going to be left with? I mean, this is the question. If you want to take down the police, and really, I think this is sort of the backdoor into that. You don't have to say defund the police like a lot of leftists and liberals are saying. We don't want to use that messaging anymore. When you have DAs in place who are essentially just tying the hands of law enforcement. So you don't have to use the unpopular jargon. If you have someone like George Gascón who says you can do anything, you can sexually assault someone. And if you can't afford cash bail, it's basically $20 and you're back out on the street again. So it's pretty unbelievable what we're seeing as the messaging, and there's no detraction. There's no detraction from anyone who would want to commit a crime. Why wouldn't you do it?
And the message that Jennifer always has for us, and it's the right message. Whichever way California goes, America could follow very soon thereafter. But she's there fighting a good fight. She's got a gun, and it's a good thing, too. Follow her on Twitter at Jennifer Horn. She's with CRNTalk.com, host of The Morning Answer and The Jen and Don Show on AM 590, AM 870. The Answer. Stay safe, my friend. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, do not touch that dial. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is marking its season of hope, and they need your help. The foundation is honoring America's heroes by donating 36 homes in 36 days. That's one home a day from Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve. Tunnel to Towers is gifting homes in more than two dozen states across our nation. They're bringing hope to great Americans, our catastrophically injured veterans, Gold Star, and fallen first responder families. The foundation is giving thanks to all of those who have sacrificed so much for us and to the many people like you across this country who have supported their efforts to honor our nation's heroes. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Donate $11 a month by going to t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. T2T.org. Help bring hope to America's heroes and their families. Thank you.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
I'm already envious of our next guest. Not only, I've only written three books. My publisher's bugging me to start my fourth. This man's got 16 under his belt. And his latest one has the blurb of all blurbs from our regular guest. You just heard him earlier today, Victor Davis Hanson. The book is Last Stands, Why Men Fight When All Is Lost, by Michael Walsh. Michael, welcome back to America First.
Thank you, Sebastian. It's great to see you again.
Now, you've got a whole panoply, a veritable cornucopia of past works under your belt already. Tell us, it seems incredibly apropos, it seems very apt that this is the subject, that let me just read one sentence from the blurb for your book, that this is a celebration of the masculine attributes of heroism that forged Western culture, and you explore the historical battles in which warriors chose death over dishonor. It seems very timely. Is there a special reason why you wrote Last Stands now?
Other than my traditional prescient attitude towards life, which is why I go to the track on a regular basis, No, it's just kind of one of the lucks of the draw, Sebastian. It was an idea that had been percolating around in my head. And in fact, in the summer of 2018, I was on a cruise with Victor, a good friend, and I mentioned to him that I had this idea for a book about Last Stands, and I showed him the proposal, and he said, gee, that sounds interesting. And so I spent the entire year of 2019 writing it. And then I was in Ireland most of this year, 2020, a but we got the production process done, the last fixes, all the galleys, and here we are, right in the middle of Donald Trump's last stand, perhaps, and perhaps that of the United States of America when you get right down to it.
Well, I can assure you something. It's not Donald J. Trump's last stand, but the book is very, very timely. It's congratulations. It's with St. Martin's Press. It's called Last Stands, Why Men Fight When All Is Lost. You talk about Thermopylae, the Spartans at Thermopylae, Crockett and Bowie at the Alamo, even Stalingrad and the Soviets' tragic titanic struggle against Nazi Germany. I always like to ask authors when they have a new tome that's out the same question. As you did the research, because I've been there, and this is a real journey whenever you write a book that is based on historical matter. Is there anything, Michael, that surprised even you when you researched these last stands of Western civilization?
I would say there were a lot of things, Seb, and I hope the readers will be as surprised and entranced by this new knowledge as I was. I would say in particular my chapter on George Armstrong Custer, with Custer's last stand in Montana in 1876, will tell you a lot about Custer that you didn't know. And there's so many, many things about this highly complex American archetype, hero, villain. He's changed so much in our estimation over the years. One of the things that's curious is that he thought he was going to win a great victory against the Plains Indians in the summer of 76, and then go to New York City and accept the Democratic nomination for President of the United States. Custer's last stand was actually a campaign event.
some campaign event.
Yeah, gone wrong. But an extraordinary man in a century that was filled with them. I have another chapter about General Grant at Shiloh when he was nobody. It was his first major battle. And had he lost, and his associate general, Sherman, with him, we would have never heard from them again. Grant had already had the pox of being a drunkard, of being resigned from the army. He couldn't win anything. He won a couple minor victories, and then he got caught with his pants down at Shiloh. And on day one, it was all over for the Union. That could have been the end of the Civil War right there. But they dug in, they literally against the banks of the river, and fought the next day and defeated the Confederates under Beauregard. It's an amazing, amazing story. It'll make you proud to be an American and to be part of this great country of ours that's right on the line right now again.
It is, and we will discuss that in our next segment. We're talking to the author of Last Stands, Why Men Fight Against Fight When All Is Lost. He's Michael Walsh. In the last 20 seconds we have in this segment, Michael, is this book for a general audience or for some who are a little bit more amateur historians already?
No, it's definitely for a general audience, Sebastian. There are plenty of books, you know, about military strategy and charts and graphs and positions and jargon. I hope this is jargon-free. Each tale, there's 14 of them, is a ripping yarn, and it concludes with my father's adventures, so to speak, at the Chosin Reservoir in Korea, this time of year, 70 years ago this week.
We will discuss it further, the incredible Marine actions in Korea. The book is Last Stands by Michael Walsh. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network across the nation, live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook, available on Instagram TV. We just broke 24 million views on YouTube. You must subscribe. It's free. Also, remember, if you're calling us here on the show, please don't make it on one of those big cell phone company lines, because they're not on your side. It's not just big tech in Silicon Valley. It's your cell phone. The big, big cell phone companies, at the end of the month when you pay your bill, they make donations to things like Planned Parenthood, gun control organizations, and even Democrat candidates. Join the only conservative Christian cell phone company, PatriotMobile.com. At the end of the month, they donate to causes you agree with, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-religious freedom. And right now in the Christmas season, they have the Gift to Give program where you can get two Samsung A11 phones. You can even keep your old number. Go today, patriotmobile.com/GORKA, or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468.
The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty, America First.
You guys are incredible. Almost 1,500 children you've helped already. Truly remarkable. I'm just shocked. When I first heard from the Prison Fellowship, more than 2.5 million girls and boys in America do not have a father or mother with them this Christmas because they're in prison. And you're helping them right now. That donation of $22 gets them a Christmas gift, a children's Bible, and a message of love and hope from their incarcerated parent. It is one of the most blessed things you can do. If you haven't done so already, please make a donation in any amount today. Be a Christmas angel. Remember what our Lord and Savior said to us. Come unto me, the little children. That's how important they were to Jesus. You can make a difference. You can be that ray of hope. You can help improve their Christmas. Go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Angel Tree banner right at the top. You can call directly the Prison Fellowship to make your donation at 888-206-2794. That's 888-206-2794, sebgorka.com. That's SEBGORKA, sebgorka.com, and the Angel Tree banner right at the top. $220 would improve the Christmas for 10 children. Be that person. God bless you all. We are back with the author of the new St. Martin's Press publication, It's Last Stands. Wonderful blurbs from not only Victor Davis Hanson, but Caleb Carr, the author of The Alienist, and my old colleague Mac Owens, the editor of Orbis. It's Last Stands, Why Men Fight When All Is Lost, which really is... It's a Christian message. It's the message of sacrifice. It's this Judeo-Christian concept that you will fight to the bitter end to save others, sacrifice yourself. Michael, you travel the globe. You straddle both sides of the Atlantic in your work, in your life. Are we at a certain caesura? Are we at a certain point, an inflection in Western civilization? Or should we take courage? Should we take should we look back and say it's been a lot worse in the past, whether it's the Depression, whether it's World War I, World War II, the Cold War? Or is Western civilization's essence truly in danger?
Well, that's a very tough question to ask, Seb. You know, each generation always thinks, you know, the newer generation is horrible and uneducated and silly. And there's a great deal of truth in that, frankly, whenever the Greeks said that about the younger Greeks. I think Aristotle was probably complaining about that idiot Alexander, and he couldn't teach him anything. But yeah, we are, as you know, this is an obsession of mine. I've written 3 books on the subject now, Devil's Pleasure Palace, Fiery Angel, which you were kind enough to have me on to talk about 2 years ago, and now Last Stands. What I'm trying to do is say our future is in our past. If we don't know where we come from, then we don't know where we're going. We don't know who we are. We literally don't. And the left, the communist left, as you know from your own upbringing, wants to destroy the past in order to control the present and determine the future. So if we let them take our cultural heritage away from us, and they're trying. They're deplatforming people. They are tearing up statues. They are after every old dead white male that had anything to do with the founding of this country. In other words, almost everybody that had to do with the founding of this country. This is a planned and prolonged attack on Western civilization. Our only fight back is education. The schools will not do it anymore. They are ashamed of being Americans. They are ashamed of their culture. So in my own small way, I've tried to do it with these books. And in Last Stands, I want to get people sort of cheering for these men. Some of them are fighting in a good cause. Some of them are fighting in a bad cause. But your point is well taken. A Christian man, a Western man from the times of Rome, even before it was Christianized, to the present, stands and fights for what he believes in. He's not a coward. He's not a weenie. He's not someone who picks up his skirts and runs away, which is why, very controversially, in this particular book, Last Stands, the whole first chapter is dedicated to the difference between men and women. And it's about the masculine ethos.
Well, that'll make it problematic to begin with, Michael. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. It's triggering, in fact. I'm noticing on the reviews on Amazon, which have been very strong, five stars across the board practically. But people say, well, he's a conservative, and you just better be ready for this when you encounter it. But we have to say these things, Seb. You say them. Others of our mutual friends say them. People can't hear this message too often.
No. I have to ask you, you're absolutely right. We lost this war, or we began to lose this struggle in our schools, not just our colleges, but way down, if you look, it's our kindergartens, it's our high schools. In the last few minutes we have with you, and you have such a storied experience in the media as well, what is the one word of advice? Whatever happens January 20th here in America, what is your advice to the conservative movement writ large? Education, we get it. Got to fix it, got to weaken the unions, got to have quality. But what is the big additional thing that the conservative movement is missing that they've got to get serious about, Michael?
No, this is a great question. And the answer we can find in the first-person accounts of men who've been through these battles. Never give up.
Yeah.
Ever. My dad at Korea, who I mentioned earlier, the night of November 27th, surrounded by 100,000 Chinese, crashing down the hill at a handful of Marines. I asked him, were you afraid? He said, he looked at me like I was crazy, and he said, we did our job. We went to work. In other words, you follow your training and you do your job. If you panic and run, you will lose. If you stay according to your principles, you might win. And sometimes last stands do have a happy ending. We have to be prepared to fight for our principles, just as the left did against Donald Trump, who you work for, from 12:01 p.m. on January 20th. The Washington Post said the drive to impeach Trump starts now, 15 minutes after he took the office.
Yes.
We have to adopt their tactics against them. I wrote a whole book about that called Rules for Radical Conservatives. Never give up and fight them even harder than they fight us. That's how we win.
It truly is the lesson of the last 4 years. This man never, ever gives up. And it has served him well and this nation well. That is the 45th President of the United States, my old boss, my new boss, Donald J. Trump. He's the author previously of Rules for Radical Conservatives, The Devil's Pleasure Palace, amongst many others. His brand new book is Last Stands, Why Men Fight When All Is Lost, by Michael Walsh. God bless you, Michael. Thank you for joining us here on America First, broadcasting live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, my friends, if you are in daily pain and have found relief nowhere else, you must try this product that is providing daily liberation for pain for thousands, tens of thousands of Americans, including Leah from Ohio. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions in 8 days, I found relief only to get better and better. I am a believer 100%. Don't you deserve to find out if you could be the next Leah? Of course you do. Go to ReliefFactor.com, order the three-week quick starter pack for the paltry sum of $19.95. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I guarantee you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you'll know if it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com. You've waited long enough. You know it makes sense. Don't wait any longer. ReliefFactor.com.
Portions of today's program are brought to you by Prison Fellowship.
You know, I've also been through cancer, a couple of other things, very serious emergency knee operation. Things happen in life, and you have to go with them. You can't overreact to them. Otherwise, you let the fear of illness drive your entire life. So I've never overreacted to it. You know, you take normal precautions. You don't screw around your whole life because of an illness. It was face risk. I'd rather face risk than live in a basement all my life.
I'd rather. Doesn't that tie in perfectly with Michael Walsh's book, I'd rather face risk than stay in a basement all my life. That was, of course, Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Again, a telephone interview he did. I think he's at George Washington Hospital that he did with WABC Radio in New York. And the latest is he should be out. He may have contracted the coronavirus. But you can't keep Mayor Giuliani down. And he expects to be out of the hospital tomorrow. And we need him back on the ground because he is the president's attorney. He is fighting. He is the lead counsel in the fight against the election fraud. And you heard Victor Davis Hanson. This is it. If we don't fix these things now, we will be forever condemned to the insanity of Balkan elections, banana republic regulations, where identities don't have to be checked, where ballots can be dropped off in their hundreds of thousands, days if not weeks. New York, can I just be clear here? The state of New York is still counting ballots. We are almost 6 weeks after the election. I think Monrovia probably counts its ballots a little bit quicker. I'm pretty sure India does, and they're a tad larger than us. And I know Mexico requires voter ID. This is a travesty, and it has nothing to do with our being inherently backward, because, of course, we are the only nation that put men on the moon. We are the only nation in the history, ever since the late 1700s, when a British doctor took pus from a milkmaid's sores on her hand and injected them into an 8-year-old boy, and the first vaccination was ever successful. We are the first nation in history to identify, to genetically code, and to arrive at a trial vaccine in less than a calendar year. That's America. Therefore, we have no excuse to have these Balkan election laws. But it's up to you. Only you can stop it. Reach out to your state houses, to your local state secretaries, and tell them they dare not certify a fraudulent election. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Never give up. Never give in. Hold the line. And stay frosty.